A Matter of Spirit is the quarterly justice journal of the Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center. This article appeared in the winter 2018 issue on New Monasticism. Foundations of Monasticism by Sister Laura Swan, OSB. Laura Swan, OSB, a member of St. Placid Priory in Lacey, Washington, maintains a passion for recovering women's contributions to monastic life. Her books include The Wisdom of the Beguines and The Forgotten Desert Mother. Let us prefer absolutely nothing to Christ, and may He lead us all together to everlasting life. From the Holy Rule of St. Benedict, 72:11. Roots of Monasticism. Expressions of monasticism are found in most religious traditions and share common elements of days structured around established times for communal and private prayer, silence, and manual labor to support the community, extending care for the marginalized, and providing a quiet space for seekers. Monasteries are rooted in a geographical place and are both an extension of the culture around them, as well as striving to be a prophetic presence into that culture. A common thread of monastic history across religious traditions has been its quiet rejection of corrupt powers or empire. Christian monasticism. Early Christians gathered in private homes for prayer, sharing of their faith, reading of Paul's letters and later the Gospels, and the breaking of the bread. As Christianity spread across the Roman Empire and eventually moved into mainstream society with the legalization of Christianity in the 4th century, followers struggled to remain faithful to Jesus' original message in a society that was rife with political intrigue, wars, economic and environmental devastation, and lax morality. How to remain faithful to Jesus' message in a world that was vastly deteriorating? How to seek God in the midst of a church that was torn asunder by powerful political forces interfering in theological debates? Christianity had become a political tool for those who sought to increase their power. Ecclesial leadership had become, too frequently, a path toward political power and social prominence. Some of these home churches morphed into monastic communities. Some remained in cities, and others moved out to the edge of the empire. These communities gathered around one or more charismatic leaders, seeking to live as did the early community in Jerusalem. Other seekers and their families gathered around the edge of these monastic communities, drawing strength from the spiritual heritage experienced there, with both monastic communities and their followers extending care to the poor, the prisoner, and widows and orphans. While there were diverse expressions of monasticism from the earliest days of Christianity, Macrina the Younger, death year 379, is considered the founder of monasticism in the East, and Benedict of Nursia, death year 550, in the West. As the Roman Empire was again torn asunder by warfare and corrupt government, a young Benedict, disgusted by what he witnessed as a young student in Rome, rejected the life his patrician family had expected for him and headed east to Subiaco and began a life of solitude. Enticed away from his hermitage, now known as Sacro Speco, he established 12 new monasteries along the Apennines of Italy. Benedict culled the best wisdom from the desert and early monastic traditions to guide his monasteries of men. Women had their own monastic tradition. What we now know as the Rule of Benedict, a spiritual and not legal document, was written and rewritten over many years of trial and error, prayer, and hard work with his diverse and often ornery group of monks. Benedict accepted anyone who came knocking at his door expressing a desire to know and serve God. The entrance process, called out those who were not serious about their calling, and, because of his growing fame, those who just sought the attention of a famous spiritual master. Benedict welcomed men from disparate cultures, languages, and social and educational backgrounds, from the illiterate to the well-educated, and tried to shape them into one in Christ, Galatians 3:28. Thus he provided a way for the illiterate to learn to read, and those from the upper echelons of society learned to do manual labor. Benedict organized his communities with the intent of creating the space where each monk might deepen his relationship with God, suggesting ways to organize their observance of the divine office as well as time for personal prayer. He protected times and places of silence so his monks could get away from distracting noise in order to nurture their spiritual journey and increase their capacity to listen deeply for the divine. Community, central to Benedict's vision of the Christian journey, was where conversion of life happened. The structure he provided was famous for its flexibility, sensitivity, and strength. Benedictines make a monastic profession of stability, conversion of life, and obedience. Obedience is understood as a commitment to a deep and intense listening for the movements of the Holy Spirit. Stability is a commitment to a particular monastic community and its locale. Conversion of life is a commitment to stretch beyond our comfort zones and recognize that all of life and every one of God's children are the gospel being preached to us. Benedictines seek to live from a contemplative stance and embody a contemplative presence in their locale. Benedict undermined the powers of empire by avoiding a direct confrontation and offering an alternative path through the contemplative. His rule offered hope for the reign of God to be birthed through a powerful countercultural way of life to anyone, regardless of class. Benedict had not expected his rule to become the standard of Western Christian monasticism, but due to its common sense and adaptability, it has become the most common monastic rule in the West. Now, nearly every country hosts either Benedictine or Orthodox monasteries, or both. Monasteries in the U.S. are shifting away from major institutional ministries, such as direct oversight of universities, high schools, and healthcare systems, and returning to their roots, spiritual formation opportunities, new forms of membership, caring for the environment, collaborative ministries, and seeking to be a healing presence in their locales. They have maintained their commitment to beauty through the creative arts, writing, and composing music. U.S. monasteries remain committed to interreligious dialogue and have been journeying with monasteries in developing countries, assisting with education and formation resources. Some monasteries have shifted to non-canonical status in order to welcome non-Catholic Christians, such as Dwelling Place Monastery in Martin, Kentucky, and Holy Wisdom Monastery in Madison, Wisconsin. In northern Italy, Enzo Bianchi established the Ecumenical Monasterio di Bose, with a focus on the environment, ecumenism, and the arts. Oblates have helped monasteries as they have been right-sizing, remain connected with the broader church. The New Monasticism. Historically, there have been people attracted to the rule of Benedict who did not feel called to join a traditional monastery with its celibate lifestyle. Many made promises as oblates, connecting to a specific monastery and sharing its presence to the broader community. But there have also been those who wanted to shape an intentional community based on the rule, but with its own unique expression of monastic presence. This not-new movement of intentional communities has called itself the New Monasticism. These ecumenical communities include people who are married, widowed, divorced, single and dating, and sometimes includes vowed celibates living together in differing living configurations, usually near one another. Choosing to live in the abandoned parts of the empire, they share in common prayer and meals, deciding how to share resources among themselves and the place of outreach ministries in their shared lives. They have a formation program for new members, not unlike the historical novitiate, and are committed to a disciplined contemplative life. Some intentional communities have a formal commitment ceremony somewhat similar to traditional monastic profession. Some do not. Frequently, their place to gather for prayer is a local church that has given them permission to use their worship space for the divine office. Like traditional monastics, the new monastics are self-supporting, are dedicated to the care of the environment, and support local economies whenever possible. Some have a specific outreach to peacemaking in the midst of violence. All extend hospitality to the expected and unexpected guests who will come their way. Examples of contemporary new monastic communities include Shane Claiborne's The Simple Way in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Jonathan Wilson Hardgrove's Rutba House in Durham, North Carolina. Lotus House in North St. Louis seeks to be a peaceful presence in an area with a reputation for crime and poverty. The Community of Jesus in Orleans, Massachusetts, considers hospitality and healing through beauty as their major outreach. Andrea Riccardi's Sant'Egidio community in Rome and its branches elsewhere are dedicated in their outreach, HIV/AIDS in Africa, and as mediators in peaceful negotiations, the despised Roma, as well as the current flood of immigrants. The continued growth of intentional new monastic communities may soon outnumber traditional monastic communities. And may the Spirit blow where she wills.